The title of this lecture is Wave Packet Propagation and Iterative Diagnosation. So, in the last section, we learned about DVRs, FFTs, and corresponding bases and grid representations as efficient means to compute the action of the Hamiltonian on the wave function for a given wave function. So, by now we can assume that we know how to apply the Hamiltonian on the wave function numerically efficiently. So the next task is to develop schemes to solve the time-dependent and the time-independent Schrödinger equation based on these H psi products. So taking the H psi products, we're looking for schemes, and let's start first with the time-dependent Schrödinger equation. So, schemes to solve the time-dependent Schrödinger equation, and later on, and also the time-independent one. So, for motivating schemes, the an interesting thing is to start with something simple, straightforward, which tells us the important features without being kind of the final solution in developing a good numerical algorithm, and that is just doing a Taylor expansion of the propagator. So, take the time-dependent Schrödinger equation and note that thus the time-dependent wave function can be written as the propagator e to the minus I h bar Hamiltonian times t acting on the initial wave function psi of naught. Then I can just Taylor expand the propagator, and so I'm getting this series acting on the initial wave function. The series is then just given by some n from 0 to infinity, 1 over n factorial, and then minus I over h bar to the power of n, t to the power of n, and the Hamiltonian to the power of m. So I only have to do powers of the Hamiltonian acting on the initial wave function, and thus I can do this efficiently using h psi products, just taking a recursion which gets psi n by acting with h on psi n minus 1 and starting from psi naught being just the wave function at time 0. The central question now is how fast does this series converge with respect to the number of, say, capital N of elements in the series. To analyze this, we can simply resort to looking at energy eigenstates. So just take an energy eigenstate E, so the eigenstate of the energy E, and investigate the energy, the projection of the time evolving wave function on this specific energy eigenstate. And then I can just study the convergence of each of these components depending on the energy. So by doing the scalar product of this wave function with state E, I'm getting the series, but now it's a series in energies instead of Hamiltonians. So because I have an energy eigenstate, my series just gets some n to infinity, 1 over n factorial minus I over h bar to the power of n, t to the power of n, energy to the power of n, times the amplitude at time equals 0. Because the weight of an energy component in the wave function does not change with time. Now can, instead of looking at a series of operators, we can now look at this simple series here. So that is a series with coefficients cn, and we note that we have an alternating series. So we have an alternating series with coefficients cn. Okay, yeah, this should be defined like this. And an alternating series converges if the ratio of the elements take an absolute value which becomes smaller than 1. So I get cn over cn minus 1. Absolute value must be smaller than 1 to obtain a converging series. The ratio of the absolute value is just given by t times the absolute value of the energy over h bar and capital N, the last term in the series, which results from the 1 over n factorial. Thus, at a given coefficient capital N must be larger than t times the absolute value of the energy over h bar before convergence sets in. So by this analysis, I get an idea how many terms in the series are required to achieve convergence, and the number of terms there scales linearly with the time t, and the absolute value of the energy E under consideration, so that the number of terms must be larger than t times energy. And can thus make general statements regarding the convergence, considering an energy E max, which is just the energy with the largest absolute value we have to consider. So that would be the largest energy which has a reasonable amplitude in the initial wave function. And I'm obtaining convergence when the number of terms in the series becomes larger than t times the maximum energy over h bar. This idea clearly shows that the polynomial order required in a converging series is directly related to the propagation time, which has to be covered. So polynomial order and time are corresponding quantities, and the polynomial order increases linearly with time. Thus, we can conclude that the solution of the time-dependent Schrödinger equation for a given time interval capital T can be achieved by successive application of the Hamiltonian on the initial wave function if the number of applications of H, capital N, is larger than the maximum energy to be considered times the time interval over H bar. The time interval T can be connected to an energy resolution delta E, just taking the Fourier relation that the energy resolution is given as by h bar over the time interval. So taking our above statement, which relates the polynomial order to the product of maximum energy and propagation time, we can now conclude that the energy resolution h bar over t I can achieve is limited by the maximum energy over the polynomial order. And that's kind of rather reasonable, since if I take an energy interval and I take kind of capital N points of data relating to the iterations, then the energy resolution can be expected to be just essentially energy scale over number of data points, Emax over N. And this is related to h bar over t. So using this type of expansion in principle, I can obtain energy values with a given limited resolution. So considering propagation up to a time t and calculating energies up to a given resolution is, these are analogous problems. And thus this iteration scheme can not only be used to solve the time-dependent Schrödinger equation, but also provide solutions of the time-independent Schrödinger equation with limited energy resolution. And that's the origin of what is called iterative diagonalization. This either allows to compute energy eigenvalues with a limited energy resolution or accuracy, so either kind of getting only representative energies in kind of a given resolution, or if the energy eigenvalues are just scarce, then I can get individual energies once my resolution gets better than the distance between energy eigenvalues. So I can use the arguments not only in time domain for the time-dependent Schrödinger equation, but also in energy domain to obtain energy eigenvalues or representatives of energy eigenvalues. And after this introduction, kind of these ideas will be kind of turned into efficient numerical schemes in the next chapter.